Couch Potatoes, regardless of country around the world and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Fozzie Bear, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
That's right. As a last-minute replacement for Neil Miller, who had other wifely duties this week. I don't know if that's an appropriate choice of words for it. But since I actually had a chance to hang out with Fozzie this week at a Horror Hound in Cincinnati, I'm like immediately thinking of him because, you know, he's a reliable guy.
Yeah, I always like to think that I'm your favorite, but I think it's just that I'm always home. That's why I'm...
You're my loyal lapdog who'll jump on stuff the internet whenever I'm ready. Yeah,
yeah. Everybody, nobody else answers the phone, but I'm always home when you call.
No, I do enjoy having you on every time we do this. It's and we've had a lot of opportunities lately, which is nice. Have you been on since the summer?
I know. I think the last time was Sex and the City and the other
Persia.
Sand movie.
Yeah, Prince of Persia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's good to have you on every couple months because, I enjoy having you on. It makes for good radio,
yeah.
Even if you fake your push-ups.
Exactly. Don't give it away. God.
But yeah, just do some paperwork here real quick. You can get us on fatguysatthemovies.com. You can go to iTunes, search Fat Guys at the Movies, and we pop right up. Email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. You can also get us on Twitter, either facebook.com/fatguysatthemovies, or you can get, that's Facebook, and then for me, Twitter's twitter.com/KevinCarr. And Fozzie, tell us a little bit about yourself, just since it's been, you know, about 6 months.
Yeah, in case they forgot, I host another podcast. It's called The Podcast Podcast.com. And what I do...
I thought it was the Podcast Podcast.
No, that would be too redundant. where I have on podcasters from other podcasts to come on my podcast and talk about their podcast.
Yeah, and if you're playing a drinking game and that every time he Fozzie says podcast, you should be drunk by now.
Yeah, you should have passed out 20 minutes ago. So there's that show. I'm also on Facebook. You can try searching The Podcast Podcast. You won't find it. It's impossible to search for. So what I always recommend is just start looking for Fozzie Bear. That's me, FozzieBare. Do that on Facebook. Do that on iTunes, and do that on Twitter, and I'll come right up.
Well, good. Yeah, he'll show up at your house.
Yeah, and if you want to leave me a voicemail, dial 740-205-6456, and Kevin will get it to me one way or the other.
That's right, yeah. If you just be outraged about something or be lovable about something. I don't know, any sort of feedback's good.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Horror Hound. We ran into each other at the horror movie convention, or horror genre convention.
Exactly.
Down in Cincinnati this past weekend, and that was a lot of fun.
It's always a lot of fun. If anybody doesn't go and they have the opportunity, it's a Midwest thing. So if you're anywhere in the Midwest, they hold them twice a year, once in Cincinnati in March. Once in Cincinnati in November and once in Indianapolis in March. And, you know, even if you're not into horror movies much, if you're just kind of a geek, it's so much fun to go and meet everybody and hang out. And that's why you can tell I'm a little ragged right now. I'm a little raspy. I was just, you know, screaming at the drag queens at the bar and drinking too much and laughing too much. So I'm a little wrecked right now. But it was all worth it. I had such a good time.
Yeah, it was good. And what's neat about it is it's a big event, but it's not overpowering. For example, you have celebrities in there signing autographs. I'm sure they had a line around the block for like Linda Blair, but they had like Danielle Harris, who's just adorable, by the way.
Yeah.
She's like, she could like fit in my pocket. I tried it, and I got kicked out.
I did talk to her, and I told her, I was like, listen, I love Halloween, I love urban legends, but to me, you'll always be the bitchy neighbor on Roseanne.
Yeah, I mean, and she was just there signing things. You know, I mean, of course, you got to pay for autographs or whatever. And like Jennifer Rubin was wandering around, and who's the girl? Meg Foster with the piercing eyes.
Yeah.
She was wandering around, and they're just wandering around the convention, and people are cool. They're not like accosting them.
No, and Malcolm McDowell was there. And
that's right.
And he, at the last night that we were there, we were at the bar. He was there with some friends of his, just drinking, just hanging out.
Yeah. Got a chance to meet a whole bunch of people I follow on Twitter and who follow me, and a bunch of podcasters expanding the network. And it was great. It was a lot of fun. And look for some of these future podcasters to show up on this show.
You know, I do want to give a little plug to some guys I met at Horror Hound too. If you guys, if any of you listeners want to go and search Infinite Santa, it's a. Did you see this comic?
I have not watched it yet. I made sure to keep, because you know you get handed all this stuff, and I made sure to keep that so I can go and check that out on the web, because it looks really twisted and fun.
It's just about Santa Claus in the future kind of fighting zombies, and it's a comic that they put online, and it's infinitesanta.com.
Go so it's check. Nonfiction is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. It's looked into the future, and this is what's going to happen. So go check it out. It's a little like anime, but it's not as annoying if you hate anime. And it's really
And if you love anime, it's almost as good.
Exactly. And the guys who did it are amazing, and we had a good time with them. So I highly recommend infinitesanta.com.
Infinite City. Okay, great. Should we talk about movies?
I guess so. Well, considering you called me 12 minutes ago, I haven't seen anything. I should put that out now.
There's no. That's exactly what people expect from any host of Fat Guys at the Movies. And when Neil wasn't able, he's like, I haven't seen Harry Potter, so.
Yeah, I'm just doing a Neil Miller impression this week. I'm Neil Miller. I haven't seen anything.
I'm Neil Miller. I haven't seen Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1.
We could just do more and more offensive Neil Miller impressions for the next hour.
My wife called him earlier today, the great bearded one, and I'm like, oh, no.
No, he can't have that. We have to keep insulting him, keep him in his place.
Well, because you and I each have beards.
We do, and we're both great.
We're both great.
Exactly.
So, anyways, I'm stalling because I don't know anything about this next movie. I haven't even done the due diligence to really read up on it because I really don't care. But it is the next 3 days in which Russell Crowe and Elizabeth Banks get chased and stuff.
Pittsburgh Police, this is an arrest warrant.
You're under arrest for murder.
Forget that Laura's your wife. Look at the evidence.
I've seen the evidence. She's innocent.
It doesn't matter what we believe. Laura is not getting out.
My wife attempted suicide. I have to see her. 2 minutes, please.
I don't think I can last another 20 years.
I promise you, this will not be your life.
So, it's a political thriller.
Well, you know what bothers me about this movie? The trailers are misleading in their math. Like, the trailers say something like, what if you only had 3 days to get away, and 3 days to plan, and 3 days to escape, or something like that. Which sounds like 9 days, but they're saying that all those things are 3 days. So that's what put me off, and I have no interest in seeing it now because they can't do simple math.
So what you're saying is the math lead in you is offended.
Exactly.
I liked the fact that you earlier in the show prep, your response was about... Russell Crowe, you're like, is he the chubby guy that nobody thinks is that people think is attractive for no reason at all?
Exactly.
And then you went and compared him. You basically described him as I would a delicious cookie, very round and very flat.
Exactly. I think Russell Crowe should start a movie called What's My Appeal, starring Russell Crowe. Maybe we can get to the bottom of this.
Who knows? You know what? This looks like a generic sort of political thriller kind of thing, but there's just nothing about it that has jazzed me. They didn't screen it, which is not a surprise because it's Lionsgate.
Right.
So they don't screen anything.
Well, when Gerard Butler was in basically the same movie last year, at least he had the decency to do a nude scene when they arrest him. Doesn't look like we get anything out
of this.
Which
movie was that? Not The Bounty Hunter.
The one where his wife was killed and then he set up like little saw-like traps all over the city.
Yeah. Law-abiding citizen. That was
yes, good. Was it?
But not this one. This one gets a preemptive suck. We
preemptive
go
suck.
Break.
Fat Guys at the Movies. Now we're here to talk about Harry Potter and something.
Wow.
Yeah.
The research you put into this is
12
staggering.
Minutes, Kevin. 12 minutes ago you called me.
Dude, that's more time than Neil puts in.
So now what's this one called? Deathly Hallows, right?
Yeah. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1. Now if you don't know anything about what the deal is with this one, it's 7 books and this is the 7th book. But because it would have been like a 5-hour movie, they split it into 2 films. And they're doing that a lot now. You see that they're doing that with Breaking Dawn, because God knows we can't cut out any of that teenage.
Right.
So this is the thing. This is sort of the big test, but it's going to, you know, hey, you know, Harry Potter fans. But in this one, Harry Potter and his friends go on the run as Lord Voldemort takes over the Ministry of Magic and targets him for assassination.
We have infiltrated the Ministry.
You have nothing to fear if you have nothing to hide.
The longer we stay here, the stronger he gets.
I must be the one to kill Harry Potter.
We need to get off the streets, get somewhere safe.
Let's say we get undercover before someone murders him.
That way they won't know which Harry Potter is the real one.
They are coming. They are coming.
Now, you didn't see this, right?
No, and you know, I probably won't see it in the theater. I'm not a big Harry Potter fan. I'm sure that's going to lose a lot of interest from some of your listeners, but I will
you
see
don't
it.
Like Harry Potter?
I know, and they'll say it with a British accent, all twatty too. Excuse me, twatty.
Wow. just throw that one down.
Sorry. Oh, I forgot. We're not in segment three yet.
That's right. Yeah.
But you know, I'm not a big fan, but I am interested in the movie. So tell me what you think. You saw it. What did you think?
I absolutely enjoyed the heck out of this movie.
Really?
And, I mean, I in general, I like Harry Potter. I think there's an up and down with the movies. I thought the first two movies, I honestly have not gone back and watched the first two movies because I'm going to watch them and it's going to be like watching you do a perform, like you're doing your solo performance when you're in high school that you thought was so awesome. And then you watch it and you're just like, oh my God, this is awful. Because Chris Columbus directed the first two and he's terrible. And they've Alphonse Cuarón really stepped up and raised the bar, and then David Yates is doing these movies and he did the last one. I really think that they've clicked and they're really, really good now. The stories are better, and what's neat about this one is the first six were all, because the shtick is it's a year at Hogwarts,
right?
So they go through the year, and so even though there are people dying at the school, they're still having class or whatever. You know, but life goes on at Hogwarts. Not in this one. This one doesn't even take place at Hogwarts, and it goes different places. And it actually has the danger level is there. It's an appropriate level of danger. It's an appropriate level of concern, and it's a very different Harry Potter movie than the last six. And I really appreciated that. Now, with that said, it does slow down in the middle during the camping sequence. Mm-hmm. So if you're expecting it, you're probably going to be a little bored with it, but I was okay with it because I mean, it fit in the book and they kind of had to go there. Could they have trimmed it out? Sure. But I liked where it was going. I liked what they did. I liked the choices they made to adapt it. And it was exciting. It had some plenty of good action. It had some decent character development. It focused on the three of the kids. You know, they weren't bringing in some other kid. And I mean, like Hermione gets a secondary role in like the fourth one. You almost don't even see her.
Right. Is that the one where she disappears and she can time travel? Was that the fourth one?
I think it's the one in the fourth. I know the fourth one was one where they had the prom, the Goblet of Fire, where they basically had the big dance, and that's the only time anyone ever showed up.
Oh, and she dated that Russian.
Yeah.
I remember it well. Yes.
But yeah, no, this one, I enjoyed it. I really thought it really stepped up the Harry Potter franchise and got them out of the classroom.
Well,
they're no longer, you know, taking spell potion classes.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yes.
Two things. Do you feel like the story, a lot has been cut out over the years. They've cut out, now again, I didn't read the books and I'm not really following the movies, but I happen to know that they cut out an entire storyline about like Hermione freeing the house elves from the books. Do you think this movie actually necessitates two films to cover it with everything they've already cut out? And you said that it does drag a little bit. Do you think they could have put this into one movie, and this is just a cash grab?
No, I think it's necessary to split it up. Partly because if you read the book, there's a breaking point in the book.
Oh, okay.
Because when I read the book, I'm like, oh, this is where they're going to break it. Now, they don't break it right at that point. They dip into the next section a little bit more for teased, because you can't just like leave them. Can't like just leave them in the woods.
Right.
you have to have some sort of climax.
It's not like an old dog that you want to get rid of.
Yeah, exactly. We do that all the time. But
yeah.
Or children.
Yeah.
But but it no, I think it's necessary. I think it works to have crammed it all into a 2-hour, 20-minute movie. It just would have really felt rushed. Does it need to be 2.5 hours? It does run 2.5 hours. Like I said, they could have cut stuff out. I didn't have a problem with it. I know I've heard some buzz of people going, well, that's kind of boring. It's not wall-to-wall action. So, okay. I like the fact that they have split it up. It has a nice breaking point. And I think the last episode is going to be fantastic.
Who do you think out of the entire Harry Potter cast is going to go on and actually have a successful career?
Aside from the actors who already were established, Alan Rickman.
Well, of course, Maggie Smith. She's going to be in Maxim next month.
Yeah. to each his own. But I think Daniel Radcliffe is going to do well, but I don't see him doing I think he likes the theater, and I think he's going to have a better career on the West End. I don't know if any of them are going to do it. I mean, I just don't think, I mean, Rupert Grint just doesn't have leading man written anywhere on him. Okay. He doesn't even have a dorky friend. I mean, he works as Ron, and that's about it.
Right.
Nothing against him as an actor. And I think, Emma Watson, I still don't think she is definitely wanting to go and be a movie star after this. I mean, she's done done 8 movies by the end of this. She's taken care of.
Right.
So I don't get the sense that any of them are going to do that. Maybe 15 years from now, she'll do some Oscar grab movie where she plays a stripper.
Oh, good.
To get back on the, and I support that completely.
That is the sound of every man in the country setting their watch.
Yeah, she's 18. I mean, this isn't even Twilight territory. Come on.
Yeah. No, we can be excited about that now.
So yeah, no, I'm going to give it a rocks. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1, rocks.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah.
Good
the
for
next
them.
One. The next one is Fair Game. This has been out for actually a couple weeks. Finally rolling into my neck of the woods. It's been out. You're in New York, so it was out in March. But Fair Game stars Naomi Watts as Valerie Plame.
She's a spy. Spoiler.
CIA operative who was publicly outed as a spy, throwing her life in turmoil.
Son never worked for the CIA, but his wife
is an agency operative.
Have you killed the people? I can't tell you anything. I have a critical operation in Baghdad. My contacts packed and ready to go. I've got to get a message to them.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I gave my word.
No, it's over.
My name is everywhere, my real name.
Those in the highest office thought to destroy the career of a covert agent to punish me for telling the truth.
Have you seen this one?
No, I have
not. Okay. You don't see movies.
No.
But neither does Neil. So.
Exactly. And this is something I probably wouldn't see. It just doesn't seem like my cup of tea.
Well, it's one of those that it's kind of like, if you remember, there was a movie called The Good Shepherd with Matt Damon a couple of years ago that they made it into the trailers, or even The American, which came out not too long ago with George Clooney. They make it into a political thriller,
right.
and it really isn't. It's like, it's sort of, it borderlines on a political thriller from maybe about the first half or so. And then it just turns into a drama, a weepy Oscar grab drama. And here's the thing. I don't really follow politics. So
right.
I had heard of Valerie Plame and there was the outing as a CIA agent, but I really never followed it back in 2003, 2004, whenever it happened. The problem though I have with this is it's based on her book. So it makes her look like the smartest woman in the history of the universe, and it sets it up as saying, well, they're in the CIA and they're looking for weapons of mass destruction, and everyone from the CIA director all the way down to the janitor is like, there is nothing at all, there's no evidence whatsoever, and they got that one guy coming in from the White House going, we're gonna find that evidence, and this is good, even if it's just a 1% chance, and I'm like, I don't think it was this one-sided. The best movie I've ever seen that depicts sort of like the insanity behind the scenes is In the Loop. Do you ever see In the Loop?
I started it, didn't finish it. I was put off by the accents. I do not like British people.
I don't like the accents.
I am putting that out there.
This is BS.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, the point of the In the Loop, though, it was such chaos and paper push, and things happen at your job that just evolved, and it probably was a way more realistic, terrifyingly realistic display of what actually happens. This one is just, it doesn't give any culpability to anybody else except, you know, the White House. I mean, but it's like they don't talk about Robert Novak, who outed her, or the paper that said, okay, Leia, let's just publish this person's name. or the guy, her husband, who writes the article that busts them in the first place. So, I mean, it's just, and then it just preaches, literally lectures at the end. And I'm just like, oh my God, shut up.
Yeah, no, I will definitely not see this.
I got a couple more things to say. We'll talk about that after the break.
Sounds good.
Miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys in the Movies. We were talking about Fair Game. I just have a couple things to say about it. I was kind of rushed at the end. I just want to finish up by saying when Valerie Prime was taken out, was outed from the CIA, and it was published in a public newspaper. In the movie, they just make it all about, you know, like Karl Rove and Scooter Levy, who were wrong,
right?
who were wrong in what they did, but Robert Novak wrote the article, and never once sat there and said, could people die if I publish this? And the editor never once thought that, and the publisher never once thought that, and her husband, who's the guy who was so mad because he thought he was being railroaded out of his analyst, his analysis, wrote this article basically saying there's no weapons of mass destruction. Fine, but you were hired by the CIA to do this, so this is not public knowledge. There's a reason you have a national security clampdown, and so this happened, but the movie doesn't take any sort of saying, well, you know what, there's a lot of wrongdoing here.
Right.
You know, and they make him and her into these martyr heroes. And they touch a little bit on, you know, what an attention whore her husband is, played by Sean Penn, who I hate anyways.
Yeah. Speaking of attention whores.
Yeah. And then it's literally at the end, he lectures. Because he's a professor and he's lecturing. And it's videotaping a lecture. It reminded me of Lions for Lambs, where they just literally stand up and preach to you. And I'm just like, oh, come on, you know, at least tell me a story. And then on top of it, it's directed by Doug Liman, who also does the camera work. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like with this movie, he was trying to prove to people that he could move the camera more than Paul Greengrass. And he's pissed off that Paul Greengrass got the other two Bourne movies.
But, you know, this sounds like a really slow movie, so he's just shaking it around when they're just chatting in the kitchen?
Yeah, that is exactly what happens. You're standing and she's at the doorway, and he's like, I'm like, what are you, drunk? When you're doing? She's standing still. And it's like Paul Green. Did you ever see Green Zone?
No.
Which was Paul Greengrass's last movie with Matt Damon.
That joke will never get old to you, will it?
Never. I told somebody, it's like it'll be his funeral, and I'll be in the back, you know, 50 years from now, and they'll be like, oh, we bid farewell to Matt Damon. and then Trey Parker and Matt Stone will be like, that's funny.
Yeah.
Or they'll be like, that guy's an ass.
Right? They're like, even we gave up on that, for God's sake.
But no, there's a scene in Green Zone where Matt Damon comes into, his character comes into like a briefing. Now, granted, when he's out in Iraq in the war zone, fine, shake the camera all we want, because it's a freaking war zone. Comes into a briefing and the camera's going, and I'm like, it's a briefing. It is probably one of the most boring things you could ever sit through in your life, a military briefing about satellite phones. And they're like moving the camera around.
I remember this from your review when that movie came out. You said that exact same thing. I'm glad that I avoided that movie because I get motion sickness.
Oh, I actually sat too close on that one. I had to move. Not so much for Fair Game, although it was kind of far back anyways. But, I mean, it just was a big ball of meh. And it, like I said, a big glorification of Valerie. I am dubious of any movie that's based on somebody's book who is the main character.
Right. That's why the movie that immediately comes to mind is Erin Brockovich. Whereas I vaguely enjoyed that movie. But, yeah, man, she was absolutely perfect, wasn't she? She had a beautiful rack, took care of her kids, solved everybody's problems. Yeah.
Smart talking and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. So. And I bet that this movie, this Fair Game movie, fails to mention the one time that Valerie Plame was talking into her shoe phone at a school meeting. She outed herself there. She wasn't... Idiot.
Well, that's because she had a shoe phone. I mean, get with the program. That's so 1960s.
Right. She was wearing that, like, black leather bodysuit to all her parent-teacher conferences. High-kicking people.
Yeah. So for me, this one kind of sucks.
All right, good.
I'm going to give it a kind of sucks.
I could have told you that
before. I am so disappointed in the movies this year. And 2010 has been such a weak year for movies. And the Oscar bait season just doesn't look like it's going
to
get any better.
I know. And they still have to fill 10 spots for Oscars this year. That's going to be...
They're going to be like... Yeah, they're going to be like, oh, it's going to be like Toy Story 3. They're going to throw in like the other big ones that are like 127 hours. Then they'll be like, and Robin Hood, we're kind of at the end of the list, maybe? I don't know. Yeah.
Did Norbit do a sequel? Can we put that in here?
You know what should be in there is MacGruber. We'll talk about
that. It should be.
But let's talk now about box office.
All right.
Ba-ba-ba-da! Unstoppable? Turns out was very stoppable.
Oh, yes, no, you didn't.
Zing. I went and I used the crappy pun that every box office report said.
Yeah, they set themselves up when they named the movie that.
Yeah. It'd be like having a movie called Box Office Fever, and they'd be like, it doesn't have the fever or something
right.
like that.
Well, you know, I've said before.
Megamind won.
I said with Unstoppable, I think that movie looks ridiculous. I know, did you give it a fairly positive review? I haven't heard that.
It was okay. Here's the thing. It's a crowd pleaser. I mean, you go in, you check your brain out, and it's got about 45 minutes of story.
Okay.
And they fill it up with a lot of people looking at TVs and whip pans and helicopter shots. It's a crowd pleaser.
Just seeing the trailer, it just looked like so much suspension of disbelief. Like, oh, this train somehow went out of control, and this other train somehow has a bunch of kids on it, and this other train has some blind nuns on it, and oh
and
my god,
there's puppies and kittens on the train.
Yeah, it's just a little too much that I have to believe for this movie. I'm glad it didn't.
We talked about this last week. I talked to this with Neil. Is the real story takes place in Ohio? It took place in Ohio about 10 years ago. And the train never went faster than 47 miles an hour, and now it's like 70-some miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And it is overdone. It's just overdone. It's fun to watch, and you see things blow up, and you see trains run into things. But, you know, and it was funny. It opened with within like $500,000 of what Pelham 1-2-3 opened with last year.
Oh, so he's pretty much like leveled out. Yeah. That's just what you can expect from Denzel Washington every year.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So Megamind won with just under $30 million.
Good.
Oh, there's something happened in the background, but that's okay. We let him out of his cage again.
Oh, no. My son. He's out of his shame closet.
That's right. But Megamind won with about a little under $30 million, then Unstoppable, then Due Date. And then Skyline did not do well, did about half of what Unstoppable did. Ironic twist, though. Skyline, by the end of next week, will be a profitable movie, and Unstoppable probably will not finish in the black.
Oh, yeah. Well, Skyline, because they did all their like special effects on with like Microsoft Paint, didn't they?
Yeah. it's a reported $10 million budget, and it's got just under $12 million in the – even if it just bombs, even if it doesn't even make $20 million, it's still going to be profitable.
Right.
Whereas Unstoppable was like a $100 million budget, so it's a lot to overcome, and it's not going to overcome that because it's – it's not even a quarter of the way there. Then you've got Morning Glory, which was adorable, did okay.
Yeah.
$9 million.
And it was adorable, you say.
Rachel McAdams, I love Rachel McAdams, you know, moles and all.
Yeah. I always describe her as a triple threat because she can pull off red hair, blonde hair, and brunette hair flawlessly. Yeah. All three of them look great on her.
See, what's funny, I'm not one of those guys who thinks that moles are sexy. Some guys are, you know, like the whole Cindy Crawford thing. It looks like she's got, you know, an animal on her face.
Right.
But Rachel McAdams, she's got moles all over, head to toe, and she's adorable. Same thing with, like, Busy Phillips. I totally have the hots for Busy Phillips. And she is, I mean, she looks like somebody who's sneezed on her after eating chocolate pudding.
I'm stealing that. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I will sue you later. When you're on the Tonight Show and you're like, sneeze on you with chocolate pudding, blah!
Yeah, you'll just come like rushing out of the stands.
I'll be in the background. I'll be like, Fuzzy Bear.
You'll just come rushing at me. Death to tyrants!
So, yeah. What do you think's going to win this weekend?
I have no idea. I don't even know what's out. I'm so out of the loop.
Harry Potter?
Oh, is that coming out this weekend?
Yes, like the movie franchise that's made like enough money to bail out the American debt.
Oh, too bad they're British. Damn those people. Yeah. Damn those blimey Brits.
Yeah, but yeah, that's going to win.
Obviously.
There's no chance that like the next 3 days is going to squeak out a win over Harry Potter.
Yeah, what's even going against it? The next 3 days and...
Next 3 days. And Fair and Game's fair... expanding, and that's it.
You know, I'm calling Fair Game. I'm not going to be here next week. No. What do I care?
Like, I have no shame.
Exactly.
What do you think it's going to do? Do you have any idea? Would you even hazard a guess?
Harry Potter? I'm
Harry Potter.
I'm gonna say I'm gonna go high because this, you know, the holidays are coming up. People are always in a little better mood. I'm gonna go 72.
That's pretty good. I think that's close. I'm gonna aim at 80.
Okay.
I think it'll do 80 because if you look at the other movies, only three of the other films have actually opened over Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving spread, whereas everything else has been summer releases. Mm-hmm. The other three have been summer releases in June and July. This one, and if you look at it, they're like 88, 90, and 102 million, but all those, so I think this was probably good for 80, maybe 90, because if you just look at like the spread, and I know so many people that are just dying to see this movie. So I could see it crack 100. I would not be surprised if it cracked 100, but I'm going to put my money 80 to 90.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to be here next week again. What do I have to lose? I'm going to say $5 billion.
$100 billion. No, but the other reason I think it'll do well is because all the whenever they've opened a Harry Potter movie in the fall, it's just been the three-day opening. It's been Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whereas when they do them in the summer, they open them on Wednesday, and they get this five-day spread.
Oh, right.
So all the front-loaded stuff's going to hit on Friday. So, I mean, it's going to make... I wouldn't be surprised if it made $60 million on Friday. It could do $50, $60 when you throw in midnight shows.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I do know. I know a lot of people who are going to the midnight shows who have asked me to go, and I've been like, screw you!
And like, no way! Those filthy Brits with the bad teeth!
Exactly! I'm on my embargo. But I do know a lot of people who are going, so yeah, I can easily see it going 80, 90. I won't be surprised if it breaks 100, but I'm kind of estimating lower. Just because, I don't know, there's a lot going on with the holidays. And also, how long are we waiting till the next movie? When's the next one?
Summer.
Summer. I wonder if there's going to be... No, I guess everybody's going to want to see both of them in the theater.
Oh, they're going to totally want to see
it
next time. But here's the thing. I'll give a little bit of advice to anybody going to see Harry Potter. Get out of the theater as fast as you can. Because I was sitting behind these people. They literally start talking while everyone's leaving about what happens at the end of the book. And I'm like, I felt like walking up and punching them in the gonads. Because I was like, man.
See, that's
how freaking inconsiderate can you be?
That's the British for you. They don't care about anybody but themselves. I'm being as racist as I can.
I don't think they were British. I think they were just good old fashioned white trash from Ohio.
Oh yeah. It's potato potato. I don't even know.
You just stop making sense. You've checked out of this.
I totally have. I can't really even get excited about Harry Potter because I'm so like, you know, I'm so off the behind the bandwagon. I might be able to, but it seems like everybody's so far ahead of me. It would take so much for me to get caught up that I can't even try. I can't even try to start caring now.
So you're just going to be spouting cliches. You're going to be like, hey, when in Rome.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Stitch in time saves nine. You know that, Kevin.
Like that. What? That makes no sense.
A bird in the hand's worth two in the bush.
Well, you know, as far as I know, Lincoln isn't president any longer.
Right. Yeah, I'll just stop making sense now.
Okay. Well, let's talk about something that really doesn't make sense is our Fat Guy 5 this week.
Yes.
Actually makes perfect sense, but I just thought it was fun to say. Anyways, since this is the beginning of the end of the Harry Potter franchise, we thought we'd talk about our five favorite ends to series, and they're sort of, sometimes they're not completely the end, but we like to consider them the end.
Now, I have to say too, this was my idea when I was still lucid, so this made perfect sense.
You're still lucid.
12 minutes
before I dropped heroin, shot up on heroin, and got drunk.
Yeah, exactly. I think I have a horror hound hangover. I have the last couple days. I'm still not fully recovered. That's why I'm not completely here, so I'm just putting that caveat out there. If I've said anything racist or about your mother, it's just because I have a hangover.
Can you call the British racist? I mean, is it? Can you be racist? I mean, British is I guess if you're English, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I hate those bastards. But anyway, let's do our Fat Guy 5.
Okay. I'm going to take the first one, and I'm going to make some waves with this one.
Yeah, I'm worried about this.
Star Wars. And I actually have to say for both times, because I'm a Star Wars baby, and I was like 12 when Return of the Jedi came out. So that, to me, was a great ending for those three series. I cried when Darth Vader turned good and then died. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert. If you haven't seen the movie in the last 30 years, you're an idiot.
Yeah,
so,
probably British. But the reason I was worried about you saying this is because I completely agree. I'm one of the few people who I love Ewoks. I think they're so adorable.
Cute.
And
they were cute when I was 12.
Yeah, and I'll give you a little inside Fozzie information. I had a little Ewok eraser when I was a kid.
Did he get rubbed out?
No. That's a good one, though. But long story short, you know, kids' tendency to put weird stuff up their nose. Ewok eraser had to go to the doctor.
How big was this Ewok eraser?
It was just a little part. It kind of had been rubbed out. It was the foot. It was the foot off of one of the Ewok erasers, and I just felt the
So
urge.
It was one of those big-ass things, like, it started out as one of those big-ass, like, Garfield things that stuck on the end of your pen.
Exactly,
right?
And I just, like, ripped his foot off and shoved it right up my nose. I loved the movie that much.
What else did you put in your other body parts?
A marble.
Orify.
Yeah.
A what?
A marble once up my nose.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know why I like.
Were you just curious to see what you could get up there?
I was, and you would be surprised.
Are you like a Grey's Anatomy episode waiting?
Yeah, there's probably still light bulbs that I've never seen for like 20, 30 years.
You'd be like, wait a minute, I knew that guy in high school. What's he doing in there? I'm stuck.
But the point of this is, I love the end of Star Wars. And now, are you counting the technically sixth movie or third movie as another ending? Are you just saying Jedi? Jedi?
I'm also going to say, if you talk about the prequels, I thought that Revenge of the Sith was a really good ending.
I did as well. Again, I didn't like Clone Wars. No, what is it?
The Attack of the Clones.
I was very put off by that. I was a little bored by that, but I loved the last one. Or the third one, whatever it's called.
Yeah, I liked the Star Wars prequels for what they were and what they brought my childhood back. There's flaws in them, sure. They're all over the place, for crying out loud. But no, I enjoyed them. I enjoyed seeing all three of the movies in the theaters. I really had a lot of fun. So and Revenge of the Sith, I thought, wrapped things up, and it explained things, even though shit was made up in the first couple episodes.
Yeah.
But I thought they made it work really well, and they got the lightsaber into the right people, and they got the kids to the right people, and they got R2-D2 and C-3PO sort of to the right people. But, you know, I liked it. I thought that overall was good.
Yeah.
So you've got the next one on the list.
Well, you know, I'm a horror guy, as are you, from Horror Hound. So I had to put this on my list, and that's Wes Craven's New Nightmare. Now, again, not technically the last, because they did, you know, a remake, but I guess this is the last in this incarnation with Robert Englund playing Freddy.
Well, and they did Freddy versus Jason.
Well, that's true, yeah. But I think in the Freddy canon and just the Freddy world, this is a great way to end it, because it kind of brought Freddy into our world, talked about the story, and brought back the main thing you need to do in a last movie is bring back your original heroine, the people the person that people love first, and that's Heather Langenkamp, and she did a great job. Yeah. It was great to see her again. It was a wonderful way, coda to that entire relationship that I had with Freddy in my.
I like the fact in that one they toned down the cheesiness too.
Yeah, you mean Freddy's one-liners and his quips.
Yeah. He was scary again. I mean, they ramped it back up for Freddy versus Jason, but I thought he was actually a scary dude. In that one.
And they had respect for the fans and for the franchise. That's what we needed. That's what we wanted.
Yep. You want to take the next one? Because we both kind of agree on this one for sure.
Yeah, Back to the Future. Back to the Future 3. Is there a better end to a series? Because it's all the characters are back, everything you want is back, but also it takes you to a completely different location, but you still have the same fun you had in the first two.
Well, and the other thing, what's great about it is it's a neat little time travel movie. It's also a damn good Western. And I was thinking, I'm like, all Westerns nowadays are all brooding and heavy, and while some are good, you know, like I thought Open Range was fantastic, but the fun popcorn Western, we haven't had one of those ever. I mean, like in a lifetime almost. I mean, Silverado, maybe, was the last one, but this one actually worked as a lighthearted, fun Western. Everyone's trying to be like winning an Oscar and doing the brooding and doing the heavy duty, overly realistic things like Appaloosa and that kind of thing. This was a great Western.
Yeah, and it was just fun, and it also built on things that we knew previously about the characters and about the town and about the story and the mythology. So they respected the story and they respected us. I just loved it.
Yes. Yep. Yep. The next one, here's me stepping in a giant bear trap and crushing people's toes. I'm going to say The Matrix.
You do mean the last Matrix movie, right?
Mm-hmm. The trilogy.
Really?
Yeah, and here's why. I mean, I think the Matrix sequels get a bad rap at the time and historically because everyone was expecting the Matrix again. Mm-hmm. And you just can't do it. You can't experience bullet time for the first time. You can't have that massively awesome revelation of what is the Matrix that happens in the Matrix. You have to go farther. And that's where they have to. They chose something and they committed to it and they did it. Now I don't think the third movie was as exciting as it could have been, and it does run a little long and there's some goofy shit going on. But overall, I thought it told a full story, and I liked them. I thought that they added to the level. I thought they did some neat things with the new characters in the second one, and they had to wrap it up. And it's not easy to do that. It's because if you look at The Matrix, the first one, it's the introduction to something.
Right.
It doesn't actually have it has a giant, awesome climax, but if you really look at it, nothing's resolved.
That's true. Now, is it the second or third one that has Neo taking on, like, you know, 100 Mr. Smiths?
That's the second.
Okay. I loved that. That was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen in my life or ever will see in my life. That was so well done, and the special effects were amazing. The third one, I watched these recently. I had never seen these before until, like, about, I guess it was 3-4 months ago. The third one, I stopped about 70% of the way through. I just couldn't take it anymore. I was like, if I want to see people living in a cave and acting like morons and all filthy, I'll just go visit my family back in Illinois.
Wow. They don't listen to this.
Yeah, exactly. They don't have computers.
Apparently you're your family's the Taliban.
Yeah, exactly.
Living in caves.
Oh, dear, I've said too much.
Yes. But you know, another thing is, and I'm going to step on a toe about something that's not on the list, if you want to. What happened with The Matrix that everybody complained about the second one is they're like, it was too long, too many special effects that didn't hold up, and it didn't end. And that's what the big complaints were. And I'm like, have you seen have you seen Lord of the Rings?
Oh, right.
I mean, it's just full of shitty effects. And it's full of... It doesn't end until the end, last movie.
Well, and does that ever end? That ends like 9-10 times.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. This is not on the list. The Lord of the Rings is not on the list because I understand there are people who just love, love, love Tolkien and just want to take Tolkien and rub it all over their body with baby oil and put it in their mouth and put it in their nose, you know, like some people are prone to do. But the thing is, the Return of the King is a boring-ass movie. I'm sorry. And the first one's kind of a boring ass movie. The second one I thought was okay, but the third one, yeah, you're like, it had not. Everyone complained. I when I saw the first one, I'm like, it didn't end. I'm like, people are like, it didn't end. I'm like, hey, the third one's got plenty of ending to go around.
Yeah, that's true. Now maybe it would have been more exciting if we'd seen Lawrence Fishburne like cooking gruel over a fire pit.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I liked the third one. It's not that they painted themselves in a corner. They had to do a third movie, and they had to end it. And I think it went where it had to go. I really don't know where they could have taken it. And I do think people are just like pissed that it wasn't. It's not the original. I'm like, it's never going to be the original.
Yeah, well, I think those brothers had gone insane by that point anyway. They'd gone way off the deep end. You know,
then they made Speed Racer.
Yeah, which I have no opinion on whatsoever. I tried to watch it, and it was just too many colors. I felt like a cat. Somebody was jingling keys in front of me, and I was just disoriented. I couldn't pay attention. But you know what I could pay attention to? The one that I fought to get on this list?
Yes, what's the final one that knocked Lord of the Rings nowhere near this list?
It's Police Academy, Mission to Moscow.
Wow.
Now, a lot of people...
Justify this one for the fans.
So, a lot of people are going to discount this movie. Now, I grew up with the Police Academy movies, and I think the reason that I respect this movie so much is that they knew it was time to go. They kind of brought in a new cast. They were using some of the old jokes, and they even brought some of the people back from previous movies, which is, as we've said, that's what you need to do in your final film.
Was Steve Guttenberg in this film?
You know, I don't think he made an appearance, but, you know, some of the other minor characters did. some of the ones that we had known over the years and we had seen. And, of course, they had the Blue Oyster reference, which is all I need out of any movie ever.
What I thought was funny about the Police Academy movies, the first one was rated R. Mm-hmm. Like, the next one's rated PG-13. And they just kept getting less and less R.
Well,
as they went, like the last one was, what was it? Was it rated G and produced by Nickelodeon?
Yeah, it was just fuzzy bunnies in Moscow. But, you know, the thing, when I was a kid, they were geared towards kids. They realized that kids were seeing him anyway, I guess, and they started gearing him that way. But me and my friends, we used to play Police Academy when we were outside. But we would play them as, like, you know, Steve.
When you're 22, 23.
No, I guess we were, like, 6 or 7. But, you know, the guy who could make funny voices could, we changed it slightly. So the guy who could make funny voices could impersonate anybody. That was his superpower. And Steve Guttenberg, because he's kind of mischievous, his power was he could levitate things.
Wait a minute. It went from Police Academy to the Teen Titans or something?
Yeah, basically. I mean, don't you remember when they did a Happy Days?
You know what this sounds like? This sounds like, you ever watched the Super Globetrotters cartoon?
Exactly. That's kind of what it was. Remember there was a Happy Days cartoon, and for some reason...
this guy could turn into a basketball.
Yeah. Well, remember when the Happy Days cartoon, for some reason, they were in outer space solving mysteries?
Yeah, that's happened.
That's how kids think, and that's what we did. We were really into
Gary Coleman cartoon?
Yeah. Exactly. So we were really into Police Academy and, like, Mission to Mars. That was the shit, yo. That's my
that
jam.
They also did a Three Stooges cartoon where they were, like, robotic Stooges.
Oh, I remember that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm surprised you didn't start working for Hanna-Barbera at that age.
No, but I did used to love the USA Cartoon Express.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was that on right after Soul Train?
No, that would have been ironic. But no, there was the USA Cartoon Express was just like all Hanna-Barbera cartoons for like 3 hours.
Wow.
Right before, God, this is a flashback, Captain Commander USA's groovy movies.
Wow. It was just nonstop cartoons you could just mainline into your vein like black tar heroin.
That's why I'm so messed up.
Wow.
Yeah, it's all USA's fault. Not my Taliban family. Heaven to Betsy now.
No, can't blame them. Wow, we've seriously derailed at this point. We should probably go to a break just for the sake of national security and sanity.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
I got to scramble these frequencies. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. Now we're here.
Wow, you wound that up, didn't you? You're like, and welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies, playing top 40 hits all night long.
Coming at you with, right now, you know what we're coming at you with?
Yes.
The world famous DVD Roundup. Oh, that was a good one.
Wasn't
that
good?
That's your best one you've ever done.
Ever?
I might just be drunk and tired, but yeah, that sounded really good.
189 shows, and that was the best.
That was, and I'm glad I was here for it. I feel honored.
All right, I'll kick this off because I've got all the picks apparently.
Yeah.
The big one, my favorite of the week, is actually Avatar: The Big Blue Sex Scene Edition, which is a collectible edition on Blu-ray. It's actually not called that, but that's what I call it, because it has a sex scene, which actually is not much. It's not much. It's not like, you know, it's not like the difference between like Bambi and Basic Instinct. It's like they kiss a little bit longer.
They just tie their ponytails tighter.
Yeah, they bring their brain genitals and attach them, kind of thing. But it's great. It's got like 8 hours of special features, 3 discs on the Blu-ray. It looks fantastic. It's like a 3-hour edit. If you love Avatar, this is a great way to catch it. There's also on Blu-ray, which is a neat one, is A Christmas Carol. The Jim Carrey looking a little freaky one. It's a neat little movie. I mean, we've all seen The Christmas Carol a million times, and it's a different way of doing it. And I think it looks cool. And it has this picture-in-picture thing where you can actually watch the raw footage of the motion capture.
Oh, interesting.
It's actually kind of fascinating. And Robert Zemeckis does a commentary, but I could only stand it for about 10 minutes of that because he's got an annoying voice.
Yeah.
There's also Best Worst Movie, which is the epic story of the making of Troll 2. If you have not seen Troll 2... You must.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen
beautiful movie. Beautiful. I have. I've seen the movie and I've seen the documentary.
Oh my God, so much fun.
Yeah. So much fun. You have to go out and see every single second of this. Watch the movie first. That's my recommendation.
It just came out on Blu-ray a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Watch Troll 2 first and then watch the documentary.
Yeah. There's also The Kids Are All Right, which was all right. Did you see this?
No, I did not. But I actually heard you talking about it on Twitter today.
Yeah, I mean, it was it's a story of a lesbian couple who have two kids, one from each of them, but from the same sperm donor, and they go find their parent, the father, and they all of a sudden are like, oh my God, we're stuck with having to figure out what to do with this intensely blended family. And it's well made. It's just, I just didn't like any of the characters. That's my big problem. I was just kind of like, they're all kind of me.
Yeah. And I have to like a character to like a movie.
Yeah. And I mean, I know some people do like these characters, but there's like this series of, like, Greenberg was Focus Features' last sort of like pseudo romantic, sexy comedy that wasn't sexy at all. And that's
right.
This one. Kind of runs into a lot of stereotypes, which may or may not be fair. There's also Cats and Dogs, The Revenge of Kitty Galore. Which,
speaking of sexy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I believe when I was on your show, the podcast last spring, I was predicting this to be one of the big box office winners of the summer.
And I predicted it to be the gayest movie of the summer.
And, you know, even on this with the lesbian couple, Cats and Dogs, Revenge of Kitty Galore might actually take away, away with that win.
Still winning.
It was not a big hit. It's cute for the kids, and that's really it. Peanuts Holiday Collection. This actually came out a couple weeks ago, but on Blu-ray, they've got all the Peanuts. They've got the Great Pumpkin and another Halloween one. They got the two Thanksgiving specials, and they got the two Christmas specials in one box set. That's on Blu-ray. And, of course, you know, hey, you got to have these for your kids because you don't want to wait till they're aired on television.
Right.
Mutiny on the Bounty is on Blu-ray in a box, in the Blu-ray book, which is a neat little packaging Warner Brothers does with the Blu-ray in high definition. And then, of course, Lottery Ticket with Lil Bow Wow, who's now just Bow Wow.
And right.
When he gets even older, he'll just be Wow.
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 Yeah. Oh, that's. I'm kind of interested to see that. What did you think?
I haven't gotten the DVD yet. I'm just putting. I'm putting it out there. It was a late delivery, so we should be getting that. Oh well, I have to admit it. I cannot lie to this audience.
Oh, I'm sorry. I called you out like that.
Yes, I can lie. I just don't want to on this one.
Yeah. You know, the only thing I have on my list is didn't even come out this week. I think it came out last week or
it came
or
out
even
a couple months ago.
Actually. Oh, good. Yeah. Did it. Yeah, my Netflix queue has just been behind. But the only thing I saw this week was MacGruber! I might have just been really tired and kind of out of it, but I thought this was hilarious.
I love MacGruber. That was the other one along with the Revenge of Kitty Galore that I was predicting was going to be the big hit of the summer.
Yeah, well, that didn't happen right there. But if you were going for quality, then yeah, you got it. Because it was spot on. Neil Forte? Is his name Neil Forte? Will Forte.
Will Forte, yeah.
He gives 110% through this entire movie. Mm. It's one of the – he does not falter at all. You can tell he was really trying to make this be the next Wayne's World or the next, you know, big SNL movie. It didn't do that, but he was giving it all he had, and I salute him.
I love MacGruber. It was such a fantastic movie and so funny. Yeah.
And I highly recommend if you get the DVD, watch the unrated version.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know who wouldn't.
Yeah,
I don't know who's
kids. Yeah, well, so my kids can watch it. It's still rated R.
Exactly. Dude. I don't know who's so parochial that they're just sitting there in their big bathrobe buttoned up to their neck. Like, well I certainly can't watch unrated scenes.
Yeah, that would be
wouldn't be legal. I'm British.
Last one, we got The Stinker is The Last Airbender. If you don't know why, you're a lost cause. review wrap up. I said Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1 rocked. The next 3 days gets a preemptive suck. And fair game. Kind of sucks. Next week, we've got Tangled, Faster, Love and Other Drugs, and Burly Q. thanks, Andy, from the Metal Living Podcast. Fozzie, give us where we can find you real quick.
Again, it's thepodcastpodcast.com, and you can find me on Twitter under Fozzie Bear. That's FOZZIEBARE.
All right, and that shall take us to the end of another Fat Guys of the Movies. We will talk to you next week for a big fat Thanksgiving episode.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we squoze that in right under the wire.